This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you're hiring, posting your job on just one site isn't enough.
No, it's not, CeCe. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Let ZipRecruiter's powerful technology match your job to the right candidates, because you don't want to hire the wrong ones.
You can't.
No. And use their simple dashboard to find your perfect hire. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
So try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. That's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
You're getting so good at doing commercials. It's got to be hot out there pitching in the summer heat, right?
I love the summer heat.
Really?
Love it.
All right. Well, when the temperatures rise, you still may need to cool down as much as you love it. And this summer is going to be fire. And the New York Yankees are not the only thing heating up. I know you know this.
There's nothing better to quench your thirst on a hot summer day than an ice cold refreshing Pepsi.
So if you're going to the ballpark for a tailgate, or you just plan on watching the game from home with a couple of buddies, be sure to grab a Pepsi, because Pepsi pairs perfectly with game day grub like hot dogs, burgers, brats, pizza, peanuts, popcorn. How many hot dogs have you eaten in one sitting? What's your record?
Ooh, probably 15.
Wait, what?
Yeah, seriously.
Really?
I can crush. I can crush food, but yeah.
15 hot dogs?
Yeah,
hot dogs?
For sure, easy.
You gotta be like 4th of July on that like contest. My gosh. Now, CeCe, 15 hot dogs, that makes me thirsty.
I can crush. So remember, while you're stocking up on some Pepsi, be sure to grab a couple of bottles of new Pepsi Fire.
Dylan is like always calm, I feel like. What's the most fired up you've ever seen him?
Oh, he gets fired up. I've seen him fired up a lot.
Yeah?
Obviously during game situations or watching basketball, like sports and stuff. You know what I mean? It gets pretty intense in there. It gets fired up. He seems like more laid back and reserved, but, you know, once you get to know him, it comes out of the shell.
Now, when you're watching a game together, I know you are going nuts watching a game. Like, I know you are. Dallin, are you going?
I'm talking as the most shit I can
talk.
He
talks more than me. Like,
oh,
people
really?
Think he's so quiet, man. He talks way more shit than me. Like, it's crazy.
I'm making sure he knows.
Is it watching the Cavs where Dallin, like, starts getting really fired up trying to protect his love for LeBron?
Warriors, trying to hate on the Warriors most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, whatever argument I can have with C, disagreement I have with C, we get
it
into
it. Matter.
We,
like,
we
it
get into
it. Whoever,
doesn't matter, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just hating.
There's not one team. It's just the fact that CeCe's rooting for the Warriors.
Rooting for the Warriors, so I got to go against him. I'm not going with C. I'm going against him. Whatever it is, I'm going against him.
This applies to all sports.
Every sport.
Every sport.
The Raiders.
I hate on the Raiders.
Whoever it is.
Yeah.
But he hates to admit that he's a Knicks fan.
Oh, really?
I mean, I enjoy watching
the Knicks
play, but...
This is says, I enjoy watching the Knicks. Nobody enjoys watching the Knicks, Dylan.
No.
This is how R2C2 starts, with the basketball situations. This is our real discussions, which is the perfect way to intro our guest, Dylan Betances, all-star reliever for the Yankees, because he's always a part of these conversations.
He is. What up, D?
Yeah,
you like our name, R2C2?
I do. I was talking to Rucco the other day. I like it a lot.
Knicks fans, Knicks fans be hiding, bro.
I'm a Kobe Bryant fan, so, but, you know, I thought when they got Rose, Noah, Courtney Lee, I'm like, man, they put in some good talent out there. I thought they were definitely going to make the playoffs, but it was upsetting season.
Yeah,
disappointing season.
Kind of disappointing. Oh, man, they were awful.
New York basketball hasn't been good.
Here's the thing. There is nothing more damaging in sports than when you have poor
big market
leadership.
Ownership.
Like, you can never get it. They can't get it right, you know, because that trickles down. At some point, that's going to affect it. You guys know I do the NBA games because we always talk hoops, and I do NBA play-by-play. And I was with Doug Collins, one of my favorite analysts to work with, and we did a Knicks-Bucks game in January. And Porzingis has missed, like, two games or three games with something minor. And he was back playing that night. Yeah. And so he walks into the room to sit with us. And he's got this big smile on his face. We're like, how you doing? He's like, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be back on the floor. Like, literally, like a little kid. And, you know, those kind of moments, first of all, they're adorable, right? Mm-hmm. And then second of all, you feel good and you feel energized. Like, man, you love seeing someone who loves the game that much. And he does this great interview with us where he's just happy the whole time. He walks out of the room and Doug says to me, he says, let's see how long this lasts with this kid. Because this organization and this market, man, it beats you down.
Yeah,
it beat you down. Definitely. By the end of the year, he was surly. He had different things where he had talked about, you know, the organization negatively. Yeah, yeah. I feel bad, but I feel like the Knicks just zapped the life out of you right now.
Well, I mean, the thing is, whenever you're losing, you know, things, you ain't going to be happy. You know, things aren't going to go as well as you want to. You can tell, like, you know, chemistry is probably not the same. When you have a winning ball club or a winning team, I think it changes everything. The aspects of how you come to play every day, it just, you know, when you're winning games, like, your energy is almost every time is almost there, you know.
Yeah, I think here too, losing is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It can beat you down, and it can put a lot of pressure on you. And if you've never been through any kind of adversity or you know, any kind of tough times in your life, I think it'd be hard to deal with playing here. You know what I mean? Navigate the media and being focused to play at the top of your game every night, you know, whether whatever sport it is.
Well, how about, I mean, you basically, CeCe, your entire career, you've been a stud. And then a couple years ago, when I think it was the first time you hurt the knee or whatever, you really struggled. Mm-hmm. And that's here. Like,
well, that wasn't the first time I struggled. I struggled a lot. I mean, I struggled in Cleveland. I struggled 2008. I mean, that was one of the worst years I had in my life. I mean, after I won the Cy Young, I came back. I figured, like, I got this figured out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I come back the first half of that year. I was terrible. I think I had like an 80 or 8 all the way till June.
You know, I forget, you know what it mean? Completely because of and what you I did in traded. Milwaukee.
Yeah. People forget about that first half in Cleveland. I was trash. Like, it was bad.
I remember the second half, Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's what most people remember.
Yeah.
Is that second half. But the first half of that season, I struggled a lot. And, you know, it is what it is. You know,
how do you fight through it, though?
Yeah. It's hard. It's easy to get into it, and it's tough to get out. I mean, you know, for me, I just had to go out and basically just say, fuck it. You know, forget the results. I'm going to put in all the work. I'm going to prepare, do everything I need to do in the bullpen. And once I get out there, once I let the ball go, I can't control if he calls it a ball or a strike, if he gets a broken bat hit, if he hits a line drive off the wall, if he grounds out. It is what it is. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I'm throwing the right pitch and execute it well.
Who helps you when you're in those times, Dylan, where you feel like you're in a little rut?
You know, for me, it's just having that confidence. You know, being a reliever, you're out there as much as you know, you're out there probably two or three times every 5 days. And, you know, you can easily forget about that. You know, one of the things I learned is just having that short-term memory. You don't want to dwell on the bad. You want to be able to move on. The sun's going to come out the next day. And just go out there, and when you get that chance to pitch again, just believe in the stuff you have. Go out there and try to execute the pitches the way you want to. I mean, it wasn't easy for me. I learned the hard way. I've had my struggles in the minor leagues, and, you know, I felt like I just, one start after the other, I just let that pressure get to me. Like, I felt like I was so close to being in the big leagues, but I wanted to do so much. And, you know, bad start after bad start, it was like, man, like, I just need a couple good ones, and I'm back on track, instead of just focusing on what I needed to do that day that I was out there on that mound.
I think that's the biggest thing sometimes when you struggle is trying to get ahead of, like, get out in front of it instead of, like, staying right here in the moment and, like, addressing it today. You know what I mean? Like, when you struggle, you know, you have a couple bad ones, three or four bad and five bad ones, and you're like, man, you know, if I can get out in front of it, you know, a couple starts from now, start looking ahead. Nah, you need to start making that adjustment now, you know, today, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in the bullpen, you know, me and him talking, or me talking to Hart. All that stuff helps, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, when you struggle, is to make sure that you focus and lock it in for that day instead of trying to get too far ahead.
You've called him your little brother before, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
Dylan, give us an idea of what that relationship is like and how CeCe plays the role of big brother to you.
I mean, from the start.
A bad one most of the time.
From the start, I remember him when he first signed here, my first big league spring training. You know, he always, you know, try to make the young guys feel, you know, as comfortable as they can in a big league clubhouse. Obviously, you're starstruck seeing all these guys that you admire watching either pitch or play, and now you're in the same room, and he just tries to make you feel like, you know, we're all the same. That's the way I see it. But at that time, you don't see it that way. And, you know, for me, my first start here and my first time I pitched in 2011, I walked the house, you know? Man, I was so nervous. Adrenaline pumping. I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. I came in there. you know, it wasn't good for me. And I remember after the game, you know, I got a text message from CeCe. He's like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, it's your first time. Congratulations. You know, keep your head up, keep working. And that's all, you know. And then after that, you know, getting that text made me feel good. And, you know, ever since then, we've always communicated in the off season. I'll go to his house and, you know, we'll hang out if it's shooting some basketballs if we can, or, you know, just hanging out with the family. We've always had that relationship. Whenever I need advice, I go to him, vice versa. So, you know, we've always had that good relationship.
And tall dudes stick together, right?
Yeah, like, man. Yeah, just right off the bat, we kind of had that connection, you know. It's just obviously in having that love for other sports.
Yeah.
Fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, football, basketball, and stuff like that. And I saw a lot of myself in him when I first got here, you know what I mean? You could tell a confident kid, but, like, quiet, you know what I mean? And wasn't really sure. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I think the biggest part of, like, being ready for the big leagues is being comfortable and, you know, feeling like you belong. So that was something that was, you know, that they did for me right away. Jim Thome, Ellis Burks, you know, Chuck Finley, those guys. So I just always remembered that. And if I could, you know, be in a position to make somebody feel a little better about the situation they're in, I just always wanted to do that. And, you know, just kind of, you know, just so happened that we continue to have a good relationship. And, yeah, he's like my little brother now.
How old are you now, Dallin?
I'm 29, but I guess I'm young, and I came up late, so I feel like I'm young, you know. And I've only had, like, this is my fourth year of relieving. I mean, I haven't had much time doing this. I was a starter before. So, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. I've learned a lot I've had the pleasure to play with some great bullpen guys and some great starters as well. So I try to listen as much as I can and watch what they do and, you know, just try to help myself with that.
I want to ask, what's the biggest thing between starting and relieving for you?
For me, I think, you know, as a starter, I felt like I never had that adrenaline. It was more, I felt like you had to be passive throughout. And for me, what's worked out of the bullpen is, like, once that phone rings and they call my name, it's just like an adrenaline rush. And, like, it feels different for me. I feel like, you know, I go out there, I'm more aggressive. You know, I'm all out. I'm throwing everything I have for that one inning or one plus, whatever I have to. And then as a starter, I just felt like I was too calm. Like, you know, that aggressive energy that I needed never really came out for me. And, you know, it was hard for me to stay healthy as well. I felt like as a starter, I always missed a month in a year or, you know, a couple months on a season. It was just one of those things that I could never really, you know, stay healthy throughout the season.
See, that's interesting because I know we've talked about this in the past, CC, where you've said, like, you're kind of the person who needs to, like, turn it back, like, calm yourself down instead of amp it up. So maybe as a starter, you don't have that issue because you're not worried about, like, I need something to get me going. You're like, wait, I need to, like, chill myself out.
I'm trying to keep myself
bit.
Calm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's interesting because you didn't talk about stuff or anything like that, Dylan. For you, it's just like, no. The adrenaline of relieving is why you like it so much more.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, man. Anytime you get to come in, you come in with situations where you're coming in for a starter, he leaves a couple guys on. My job is to come in and make sure those runs don't score. I thrive off that. I love those situations. I knew as a starter when I left guys on, I didn't want somebody to come in and give up those runs. So, you know, for me, that's why I feel like I'm better in those spots. You know, and I feel like I'm able to settle down. I'm able to make the pitches that I want in those big situations. And, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I feel like, you know, it's very rewarding for a starter. He has a great game and, you know, might give up a hit or a walk. And now I have to come in, protect that lead, protect those runners. And, you know, as a starter feels good, I feel even better.
CeCe take you out to dinner when you save his wins?
Yeah, he's taking me out plenty of times.
But, but that's crazy. Something you said, too, is like, you know, he comes in and it's always a big situation. For me, is my job, I'm always trying to avoid those situations.
Yeah,
I'm always trying to not let it be second and third in the sixth inning with you know, no outs or a run. You know what I mean? So those situations, you know, it's just a different mindset. He, you know, he comes in, he loves that. And I'm trying to stay out of those situations as much as possible.
I always try and read your body language when you get taken out with like a man on and 2 outs in the inning. I'm like, is CC okay with this or is he
I'm
mad?
I'm never okay yeah, with never it. Okay. Never okay with it. I hate coming out of the game in the middle of an inning.
I noticed that I always try to pay attention when these guys are pitching. So I noticed in KC. He was upset when Joe came out. I'm like, Hark. So bullpen coach, I'm like, Hark, look, he's upset.
But I had no legs to stand on because I've been giving up runs the past four outings. So, like, I mean, when it's time to come out, and in that situation, it's time to come out. But no, I never like to give up.
Yeah, that's the competitiveness in him, obviously. You know, you don't want to come out in those situations. You want to be able to get out of the own trouble he started. And, you know, that's for sure. That's why he is who he is. And you know, you got to enjoy watching that.
You want your competitors to want to stay in the game. People who want to, like, bail out of the game. It's like, what kind of makeup do you have if you want no part of this situation?
Yeah, I played with guys and I saw them pitch where you see them looking out to the bullpen, and, like, looking for help. You know what I mean?
Were those guys good or were all
– Some of them were good.
Really?
Some of them were good, but you can tell. You can tell. You can tell
who wants it and who doesn't.
I honestly, you know, I was talking about that – I forget who it was, but one of the starters, I was like, man – or one of the bullpen guys, when I was struggling as a starter, and I knew it was about that time, I look in the dugout, like, looking at the bullpen. I'm like, oh, man, I don't have it. Get me out this game. So, you know, talking about that, it's funny, man. I mean, it was just I was struggling so bad that at times I'm like, man, I just need that help.
When you're hiring, posting your job on just one site isn't enough.
CC, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
And CC, I know you've done that research to find the 80% number because ZipRecruiter, it means a lot to you. I know it does. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. It's not normal. We're giving you a great deal. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
We need to break down Dellen's, like, big strikeout celebration, because I was talking with him about this the other day. To me, it looks like Dellen's, like, about to give a big fist pump, and then he's like, wait. And just, like, calms himself and, like, does this little, like, I almost want to call it a prance. It's, you know,
it's
what
like
I'm saying?
A little, yeah, I guess.
It's like a little like bunny hop. Yeah.
It's depends, like, depends, whatever comes out on the day.
It's always something different, though. You know what I mean? Which is dope.
I know. I feel like you want to. I always feel like he's, like, about to let go of, like, a Jabba fist pump. And then he, like, and then you just, like, you just, like, drop yourself and just, like, I mean, don't do it.
I guess, like I said the other day, I try not to show my emotions as much. I don't want to show anybody up. But, you know, there's some exciting moments that you get yourself pumped. And I don't know, I guess I calm myself down in the midst. But, you know, I enjoy doing different stuff every time I'm out there.
Now, you got married this offseason.
Yes, yes.
You at the wedding, CeCe?
I was there, yeah. It was a dope wedding.
Was it?
Yeah. Were you nervous?
I was nervous. I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep the night before, man. We decided to stay at the Marriott Hotel on Teaneck.
Yeah.
And we stayed in separate rooms. And, you know, I couldn't sleep that night. My sister came. She stood in one of the rooms. We had, like, a big suite, three different rooms that connected. Sister, cousin, bridesmaids, they stayed in one of the rooms helping Janessa out. And I was trying to sleep.
Who'd you have with
I didn't
you?
Go
Nobody?
To sleep
till
like, 3 in the
with
morning.
You?
No, I was by myself.
Yeah,
but I didn't go to sleep till like 3 in the morning. I had to get up early. I was nervous the whole day until Like, once we were at the ceremony, then I was fine.
What about, like, standing there watching her come down? Was that nervous?
That was, that was nervous.
That's when I started sweating the most, bro.
Really? You're nervous for or for yourself?
I was nervous for him at the wedding, yes. I told Amber that. But at my own wedding, when she started walking down the aisle, was when I really started sweating.
I was making sure no tears came down. I'm like, man, just hold it in. Stay strong.
You know what's crazy is you try to be like, but, like, if you would have cried, everybody would have been like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I know. But I was like, man, I can't do it. She told me, she's like, make sure you don't cry. I don't want this makeup.
Because if you cry, she's crying.
Yeah.
Did you cry, Cece, when Amber walked down?
No, I was too nervous. I was just, I was just sweating.
See, as someone who's not yet married yet, although I certainly hope this podcast and you guys as my new wingman is going to lead me to that road at some point. But what... are you nervous about? I mean, you're not nervous like, oh, I'm making the wrong choice. You're nervous about what? Just like this big moment?
Big moment, big day. You have so many people there. It's just a big day. You finally realize you're marrying the person you love and you're going to spend the rest of your life with. I mean, but it's more, I think it's more of the moment. Like, just everyone there watching you.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle.
Because it's like all about you guys. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I like that. I don't like that. If I'm not on the field,
I was going to say, like, kind of like standing on the mound in front of 50,000 people.
In front of Yankee Stadium. Yeah. But, like, you just don't want to mess it up. I didn't want to say the wrong words. Yeah. Like, when the pastor was telling us to recite the words, I was whispering because I was making sure that I had it right.
I told the pastor, I was like, make sure you talk loud enough so I can hear you. the height difference was
you get nervous, man. It's not nervous about who you, like, you obviously made the right choice. You get married and stuff, but it's just you don't want to mess up the moment, man. And everything is such a big deal, and it's on video, and, you just don't want to,
you
mess that up.
You prepare so long for that one big day, and then everyone is there to watch it. So
but, like, this is a little insight. Like, it was a big day for you. Like, you were excited about the wedding, right?
Oh, yeah, that was, like, that was all me. Like Janissa wanted everything.
You planned it.
He planned it.
Yeah, well, I helped her throughout. She was in charge of everything, but she always wanted something small. So for me, it's like, I got to do something big for you. Like, I come from a big family. I want everybody to be there. And so she, it was my idea to do something big like that, but she was in charge of pretty much everything. I helped her out throughout the process, but I just wanted to make sure everything was good. Everything went well. That at the end of the night, everyone was like, man, like, this was the way.
And it was dope. It was incredible.
I want to get a true dance evaluation from each of you about the other one. So, Cece, first, you on Dellen. How are Dellen's moves?
He's probably the best dancer on our team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not easy to keep all those limbs in shape at that size.
I've always enjoyed music, man. I enjoy listening to music, and I like the dance. Obviously, my moves aren't the same as they were before, but I try to.
What, at 29, you're breaking down?
Hey, no, I'm just trying. There's a lot of different moves that come out every year.
You gotta keep up with it. You know what's crazy?
You gotta keep up with the youth. So I try to watch videos here and there and practice some of those moves.
What's crazy is I try to, like, be up on pop culture. I try to. I feel like I am.
You do.
I try to. Yeah. I have a 13-year-old. I have D, and I got a 13-year-old that, like, keep me up. Like,
that's right. By the way, Dellen, you see how Cece, like, he wanted to quickly change the subject because he didn't want me asking you about what dance moves were like.
I was like, what?
Nah, he came strong. He was strong at the wedding. They put some Biggie on.
They put me in a little circle, put some Biggie on.
No, you were in the middle of the circle.
Yeah, man. Didi was in the middle.
I got a little
two-step,
man.
In the middle.
A little two-step.
I bet you Didi can dance, too.
Didi can dance.
Had fun, man. Yeah. He had fun that
Didi
that
had
night.
A good time. Yeah. You know who had, Carlos had a good time, too.
Carlos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pineda was on the dance floor.
That wedding was a lot of fun. We had a good time, man.
I'm not surprised Pineda can dance. That dude gyrates on the mound all day long. Anyway. I don't know. Even the other day, Joe Girardi was like, I don't know what those movements mean. But he's always moving out there on the mound.
Something. It's crazy because I can tell, like, how he feels by the way he's moving.
So, like, the left shoulder wag. Means what?
When he does like this, slow himself down.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. But that wedding venue, by the way, I was there a week later because you got married at the Venetian. in Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a spectacular place.
Oh, my gosh.
My boy, Joe Panic, who plays for the San Francisco Giants, childhood friend, he got married there a week later, and Nimer had texted me and been like, you got to see this place where Dallin got married. Oh, my gosh. The food was incredible.
The food was incredible.
Me and Amber got into a big fight on the way from the ceremony to the reception because she wanted me to stop at McDonald's. I'm like, I'm not stopping at McDonald's. And, like, you know, we always argue. Yeah. But I'm not stopping at McDonald's right now. So we get there, and she's all mad, and we step in, and the food was like, it changed her whole mood. Like, it saved my night. Yeah,
that's the one thing when you're the one getting married, the groom, the bride. You don't get to enjoy the food as much as we can. We went in there for a food tasting, and we got to see them. Like, man, this is going to be unbelievable. But the day of, you're so nervous. There's so much going on, so many pictures you have to take that you don't get to eat as much. But all the guests were like, man.
It was incredible.
Did you do the big dessert room? Where they clear it? Gosh, man. That thing is unbelievable.
They set the night off, it was all dope until they slid that wall back, and it was like, this is unbelievable.
It was great. Incredible, man. All right, so you didn't cry at your wedding.
No.
What's the last movie that made you cry, Dallin?
Last movie made me cry. Man, I can't.
Has any movie ever made you cry? It can be an embarrassing one. We encourage that here.
Maybe a long time ago when I was a kid. Maybe Titanic. That's one that comes up to mind.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking you were going to say Titanic. Titanic.
But that was a long time ago.
Were you with like your fifth grade girlfriend at that movie or something?
I mean, that was so long ago.
How about you, C?
Last movie that made me cry?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't remember.
Man, it had to be something recent. I cry at everything, man.
You do?
By myself, yeah. If I'm just watching it by myself, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So by yourself, you cry, with other people, you don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what. A Dog's Purpose. Have you seen it?
I can't watch it because I know I'm going to cry. Just looking at the previews, I know I'm going
to
cry.
I took my daughter to see that movie, man. And fuck, I was so mad at myself because I set myself up for this. I knew, like, the dog was, he died every 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So it was sad. It was like.
Wait, what do you mean? He died multiple times?
Yeah, that's the premise of the movie. He dies and comes back as a different dog and, like, helps different people.
Oh.
So, like, he's
having. Way too emotional.
It was way too emotional. And I'm in there crying with my, she's 11 now. We just in there, like, snotting tears. And I was so mad at myself even showing up to this fucking movie, like. A Dog's Purpose is the last movie.
See, now that
it pisses me off every time because I walked into that.
Like, you ever seen My Dog Skip? That one makes me bawl, man.
I haven't seen that.
The kid goes off to college, leaves his room, sees the dog in there, and knows he's never going to see the dog again because he's like, the dog's getting older. And so he's like, as he goes to college, he knows, like, the next time he's back, the dog just won't be there. And he, like, it's like a vivid scene. I just lose it, man. I can't take it. What about an embarrassing? Is there one that's like, this shouldn't make me cry, but it does?
Movie?
Yeah.
Clearly, I can help you if you need any.
No.
Like, oh my gosh, that got to me?
Yeah. Hey, what's that one movie? Trouble with the Curve or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
At the end, when she can hear like the same thing their dad can hear, you know?
The scout, yeah.
Yeah, that made me cry a little bit.
I get that.
You ever seen that movie?
No.
Yes, it's not.
See, so all right, Dallin, he avoids the tears, man. The wedding was the closest he got.
Yeah,
I'm telling him whenever they have a baby and you know you see the baby the first time. Mm. You cry like you cry too.
Yeah.
Big time.
Did you cry all the births of your children?
Well, three, because I wasn't at the second. The Jaden, Amber went into labor really quick and she has quick labors and I was in Chicago. It took me like 2 hours to get back, and by the time I got back, she was already wrapped up, burrito and everything.
Everything.
She was already wrapped up.
Dallin, you're a New York kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best pizza spot in the city. Anyway, any borough.
Well, that's a good
man,
one.
Man, for me, obviously, New York. I love pizza. So I would probably have to say when I was in high school, there was one place that I always went to. I think it was called Jerry's. It was in Grand Street. I forget the cross Jerry's. Street.
Where is this at? Brooklyn?
It's in Brooklyn, yeah. I don't think it's there any longer, but just Jerry's Pizza, you know, $1.50.
See, I've been in New York 9 years now, and I've yet to find good pizza here.
No.
So, I mean, I'm waiting.
You're not looking.
You come on. Why y'all looking at me like that? Like, I can't find good pizza here. I like Chicago pizza better.
No, stop.
Oh, so I'm dead serious. I mean, I like Giordano's, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I love any kind of pizza, but
I gotta take you somewhere.
Like. No, you gotta. You've never been to Joe's?
I don't know.
City?
I've never really been
Joe's
to like
good. Joe's is amazing. There's two locations. One is right near Union Square. You know this spot?
Yes, I do.
And the other one is, I think it's in the West Village, the original. It's unbelievable.
I need to go to these places.
That's like Leo's favorite pizza spot. Yeah, I don't know if you need that cosign.
We'll take you somewhere. You can't go to a restaurant. Like, it's not like
you're not going to go get a slice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to go to Giordano's where it's a sit-down place. You got to go to one of those.
Let's do that. Let's take CeCe to a couple places.
Because I've been trying to find it. And I mean, even that place in Detroit, to me, is better.
You're hurting the soul of every New Yorker.
That's deep dish. That's Giordano's, though. I think that's Giordano's. Yeah.
I like the deep dish, but like New York pizza is amazing.
No, it don't matter. I'll eat anything. You know me. I mean, it don't matter. I just want a good pizza. Like, if it's
we'll take you good somewhere. Crust, we got to take
pizza. We'll come up a little. You know, that's what I, for my 30th birthday party, that's what I did.
Really?
I did a pizza party, man. That was the goal, because
I need to come to those parties.
You guys are always welcome. You know that. You're always welcome. You guys are too busy to show up to the pizza party.
The pizza might have got you there.
I'm showing up.
Now, how about Dylan? You're also Dominican, right?
Yeah.
Give us a good Dominican spot somewhere in the area for food.
There's a spot that I always went to. There's a lot of great Dominican restaurants, obviously. And I was born in Washington Heights, grew up in the Lower East Side. But there's a spot I always went to. It's called El Caridad. It's on 190th and St. Nick's. And it's called El Caridad. And a lot, like, the menu is based off, like, you know, David Ortiz, his favorite dish.
Nice.
I've always went there when I was a kid, you know.
But what's the – so is there a Dylan Betances dish now at this place?
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
There is.
What's the dish,
Somebody
though?
Sent me a picture. It's like yellow rice with pork chops.
That sounds good.
See, I love CeCe's Instagram, his personal Instagram, which account we will not reveal the handle of. It usually features two meals a day.
I'm a foodie, man, big time.
No doubt. Well, this is the city to be in.
We just went in KC the other day to one of my favorite restaurants, two of them, actually, Peachtree Soul Food Place.
Oh, yeah?
We went there during the day for it was unbelievable food, but, like, you can't move after.
After
paralyzed.
You're paralyzed, man. For the next 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, I almost felt bad for you. I'm glad you had to pitch that night. Did you pitch that night?
I did.
Yeah, you did?
I felt good, though. Fried chicken helped me that night.
Yo, we ate that and then went straight to the ballpark. He was laying on one couch and I was laying on the other. Like, could not move, man.
I had to slow myself down this time because last year we went there and I think I ate three different plates, and I literally couldn't move. I couldn't shag BP. I stayed in the couch for 4 or 5 hours.
It's all you can eat, man, and the food is great. It's unbelievable. It's just like a little gym. Nobody knows about it.
Yeah,
really the people in that neighborhood that go neighbor, there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you both have at least, like, you're both tall, right? So you got the frames to be. I mean, this guy especially, he's like, yeah. I don't know where the heck it goes. He's like a tall, slightly fella.
I know, right?
You can do it. You're able to actually consume it. I go there, I'll have one of those plates and be dead, man. 5'10", 165. I can't handle that kind of thing.
Well, me, I'm just playing for a tie. I work out to eat. I get on the treadmill and do all that stuff so I can eat what I want.
But you know what? I always feel like it must have been the most happy moment of your career when you lost the weight and you didn't pitch as well.
Right? That was great. That's always my excuse now.
Yeah.
No. I pitched better when I got this belly, man.
Heavy, man.
Keep the weight on, man. Yeah, keep the weight on.
That was the best thing that could have happened.
More power.
I can remember, like, when I used to have my radio show, I got into a huge argument with my old co-host about this. Like, and he's like, I'm, you know, not to put you on the spot with this, CeCe, but we have no formalities on this podcast. He's like, CeCe should be losing this weight. I'm like, the dude's 21-7. I don't care what he eats. He can do whatever he wants. I'm like, here's the other thing. Sometimes mechanically or your body type, like an offensive lineman shouldn't be skinny. Yeah. Like for CeCe, I think he needs that weight.
I just lost power, man. Like it wasn't even, you know, I just was weak. I had no grip strength. I couldn't grip a fastball. Like it was just, I just lost all my power. It was weird. Yeah, I mean, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. And even because even sometimes in my head, I'm thinking, damn, like, should I, you know, I could lose some weight, like, you know, be a little healthier, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But, no, I mean, screw that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't work. So I'm good now.
When you lose so much weight rapidly, like, and you're not used to pitching at that weight, I think, you know, it has to affect you somewhere.
I felt like I was falling off the ground all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, I was – that was not a good feeling.
There's one spring training. I tried – one off season, I think it was – pitch 2014 season here, and I usually gain weight in season. I'm the guy, a lot of late night eating. So
right.
He's always worried about his weight.
So I gained so much weight in a season. So I'm like, I had to lose this weight. So I lost like probably 15-20 pounds in a month. And then I came in the spring training that year. I felt weak, man. I was throwing like 87, 89.
Whoa.
That was a big deal, too. That was that year
everybody was talking about
his velocity.
So I was like, man. So slowly I started gaining the weight back. And, you know, spring kept going and I felt stronger and stronger. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not losing that much weight that fast.
Yeah, I think, and plus we so big, like if I was to go like on a diet, I would lose 30 pounds just like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just because I have so much extra.
It's got to be the greatest feeling in the world. Like, I have to eat this for work.
Yeah,
I need to have this meal for work. By the way, the other day, because when I do the sideline reporting role, if you guys are winning, the ninth inning I spend in the camera well. So I'm watching Dellen from down there. Good gosh, filthy, man. Like, how – I know you were talking about before, even his first start ever where he walked everybody, he's throwing cheese. I'm sitting down there like, I cannot imagine trying to hit this guy right now. It is nasty watching him.
Yeah, well, pitches are great, but just the way he throws. I mean, playing catch with him is hard too.
Is it?
Yeah, we play catch indoors in the offseason sometimes. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Because he throws the ball, he lets it go from back here. It's like, it's different release point than anyone
hard
else.
For you to see?
It's way harder for you to see, and he hides it. So it's like, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to face you either, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, talking about playing catch, man, last couple of days, Shreve's changed partners, and Chad Green.
I'm thinking to myself,
I'm like, man, I'm like, is it that bad? Like,
it's not bad. You know it's good. Like, it's like, but you just can't see it.
Yeah,
like,
but I felt bad. Like, man, two guys in two different days, bro. Like, I had to wait for Chapman to come back. That's my throwing partner.
I seen Shreve trying to catch you, I was like, oh, that ain't going to last long.
No one wants to play catch with you, Dellen.
No.
Or Chapman.
I mean,
so that's
me and, Chapman play catch. We're good.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I could see Dellen being a regular guest on the podcast, can't you?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
This was awesome, man.
This was fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. I enjoyed it, man.
Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, no problem.
Our next mission, take CeCe to a good pizza spot.
Please.
That's it. We got to find something for him. He can't. I mean, New York
it's
pizza.
It's been 9 years now. I'm just saying. That's all I hear about is New York pizza.
It's been too long.
It's time. That's the next goal. Thank you, man.
ThePlayersTribune.com.